It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up, stand
up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national, Twin City, and Native American news. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. On today's show, we'll be speaking with Wendy Pilot on the U.S. Bank Stadium, and it's still a bird-killing machine. We pray for all our relatives with wings. We're catching up. We're catching up with Leech Lake band member Karina Berry, who has recently announced that she will be seeking the District 62B seat in the Minnesota House of Representatives. We'll be speaking to her about her journey and what she's been doing lately. And of course, my favorite show, part of the show, is What Does My Elder Think? We're going to have Uncle Curtis talk about local and national and Native and especially Ho-Chunk news. We are pre-America, the descendants of the people you couldn't kill off. Each week we discuss on Native Roots Radio what is important to us. We talk about our sacred animals, Native lands, and how natural resources are in danger. We speak against pipelines that go through our Native and treaty lands. We put tobacco out for our relatives that are suffering with the alcohol and drug problem. We support all language warriors that are preserving our language and our way of life. We come to you with honesty and in a good way, with an open heart. Her name was Monica, and she was 14 years old. She liked unicorns and music and makeup. She loved her little brothers fiercely. She was bright and beautiful, and she was kind. She was from Cass Lake. 80% of our indigenous women have experienced some sort of violence in their life. 80%. We need to talk about this. We pray for our missing and murdered Native women.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl!
Howl! All things are relatives. What we do to everything, we do to ourselves. All is one. Black Elk. You know, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful and groovy wife, Wendy Pilot. I threw that one in.
Yeah.
Okay, ad-libbing. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years. She's a volunteer Minnesota State Council member for the Humane Society of the United States, and she works on animal issues at a state level. Wendy, tell us your name and what you have going on today.
My name is Hanaji Hihani. And today I'm talking about the U.S. Bank Stadium being a bird-killing machine. Robert and I were grocery shopping the other day, and while we were waiting online, you know, they have the end shelves, and they sell gum and mints and candy and magazines. And I saw a magazine that caught my eye, and I asked Robert to hand that magazine to me. He handed me the Star magazine, but wasn't the magazine that I wanted. I wanted the National Geographic with the front cover that read "Why Birds Matter," and there was an article in there by Jonathan Frazen. Now I can tell you for sure, I am not interested in Kim and Kanye's $1 billion divorce announcement or Tom Cruise went on a date in disguise. I'm really not. I wanted to find out more about our birds.
Wendy, birds have a strong role in Native American culture. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, I can. The birds play a wide variety of roles in Native American mythology and legend. Frequently, they serve as messengers from the creator or between humans and the spirit world. Eagles play a leadership role in the mythology of many tribes, while the raven is frequently portrayed as a culture hero, trickster, or both. Other Native American birds play the part of heroes, villains, wise advisors, flight suitors, jealous competitors, and everything in between.
Tell us about the article in the National Geographic, would you?
Yeah, the article by Jonathan Frazen in this month's National Geographic is a beautiful assortment of the most gorgeous birds found all over the world. And I love what Jonathan Frazen says. He says, if you could see every bird in the world, you see the whole world. Things with feathers can be found in every corner of every ocean, in land habitats so bleak that they're habitats for nothing else. He goes on to say, birds aren't furry and cuddly, but in many respects, they're more similar to us than any other mammal are. They build intricate homes and raise their families in them. They take long vacations in warmer places. Cockatoos are shrewd thinkers, solving puzzles that would challenge a chimpanzee. And crows like to play. On days so windy that more practical birds stay grounded, he has seen crows launching themselves off hillsides and doing aerial somersaults just for the fun of it. I'm sure you've seen the video on YouTube of a crow in Russia sledding down a snowy rooftop on a plastic lid. And he flying back up with the lid in its beak and sledding down again.
You showed me a story of a crow that gave a girl gifts.
Yeah, so the story of a young English girl, I think she was English, she fed the crows peanuts, and the crows gifted her, and they brought her little tiny, like shiny little trinkets that they would find on the ground, and they would leave them for her. And she had quite the collection, and she really cherished these little trinkets that the birds left her. You know, birds can't protect their environment. They can't help protect waters from oil spills or protect wetlands. And they can't avoid flying into and crashing into a wall of reflective glass either.
You and I talked about the U.S. Bank Stadium killing birds when we saw the magazine.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and that's kind of what inspired this talk here today. You know, I found an article dated February 28th, 2007, so nearly almost a year now, in City Pages, and it was written by Corey Zuowski about the U.S. Bank Stadium, titled U.S. Bank Stadium is a Bird-Killing Machine. And here's the article that he wrote. There was a volunteer, Jim Shampstein, who started around sunrise. He was among half a dozen or so bird-loving volunteers who, over an 11-week span, made the walk of shame around U.S. Bank Stadium, making laps around the $1 billion-plus, mostly taxpayer-funded Coliseum, began at 6 a.m. and lasted 2 hours. The volunteers represented three conservation groups, the Audubon Chapter of Minneapolis, Minnesota Citizens for the Protection of Migratory Birds, and Friends of Roberts Bird Sanctuary.
Hey.
I know, right? Oh,
what a coincidence.
Exactly. Well, their mission was to confirm the worst, to see if the stadium, with its 200,000 square feet of clear and reflective glass, is so indistinguishable to the birds that the creatures crash into it like something out of an Alfred Hitchcock movie. Welcome to the avian killing fields.
Hey, what did the volunteers find?
Well, over the course of the monitoring period, volunteers found 60 dead birds. Another 14 were discovered just stunned and laying on the ground. Among the casualties were 21 white-throated sparrows, 9 ruby-throated hummingbirds, and 1 snow-throated bunting. It's otherwise known as snowflakes, an uncommon sighting for bird watchers like Sharpstein, who said he's never seen anything like this in downtown Minneapolis. The findings, along with reports from maintenance staff and security guards, estimate that perhaps as many as 500 birds die annually as a result of this building. And even if the actual number is in half, that estimate, it would make still make this stadium the most lethal structure for birds anywhere in Minnesota.
Why is the glass so confusing to the birds?
Yeah, well, the birds see a reflection of a blue sky in the glass, and they feel like they can just fly right through it, or they can see reflections of trees that they think that they could land on.
Jeez. Are there times of the year that are worse for the birds, Wendy?
Yeah, there are. You know, the carnage is especially substantial during the thick of the migration season, late summer to mid-fall, when the birds by the thousands utilize the Mississippi Flyway, a bird migration route stretching from Canada to South America. The stadium happens to be located smack dab in the heart of the flight path. The Autobahn chapter of the Minneapolis stadium wants them to either replace the glass with less reflective glass or put a coating on the glass that would make it more bird friendly. And of course, this would be cheaper and more realistic. You know, this has been going on since the building was first being built. And they're doing a study right now to see what they feel would be a reasonable amount of dead birds. Well, you know what? Really? A coating on the glass might not look as pretty, but come on, let's do the right thing here.
No doubt, no doubt. This has been going on too long. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents Pini Gigi Wendy. I'm awake.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States. And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exciting. exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin. Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, I'm really excited to have this guest on. Again, we just had her on a couple weeks ago when she mentioned that she was going to be running for the Minnesota House of Representatives, District 62B. And last night there was a fundraiser and I had a brainstorm like, hey, let's have her on again. So, and then see how much she likes being a politician here in the last 3 weeks. So today we have with us Leech Lake band member Karina Berry. Karina has recently announced that she will be seeking the District 62B seat in the Minnesota House of Representatives. Welcome, Karina.
Buju, thank you for having me.
Thank you for, I know you're really busy, and I thank you for spending time with us, but I just felt it was very important to get your word out. We have your poster here in the studio that we're showing the camera right now, and when we upload this video and tag you, we're excited to have you. Can you just give us a little bit of information about who you are and why you're running again for the people that have probably just tuned in first time to our show?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I am an enrolled member of the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe. I grew up in South Minneapolis in the urban Indian community. I am a social worker, and so I've advocated for many of our families in the child welfare system as a direct practice social worker, primarily Native families who qualify under the Indian Child Welfare Act. And I am now currently, I work at the University of Minnesota at the Center for Advanced Studies in Child Welfare, where I'm able to take my experience in direct practice to work with the state, the counties, tribes, other community partners, researchers at the university to create resources and training for frontline social workers and supervisors and other professionals that come in contact with our families and the other families we see overrepresented in the child welfare system. And I also manage our policy efforts, which are really around making policy more accessible to the everyday person. And that's important to me as, you know, a young Native woman who grew up in community, who faced many adversities, who has advocated for our families as they have faced many challenges, but as someone who's also done, you know, good work in our community and built trust to tap into the strengths and the positives of our community as well. And when Susan Allen, she reached out, she asked me to jump in the race, and I was honored and am very thankful for her leadership and all she has done for our communities and our state, and just felt really encouraged and empowered by her and all of the support of everyone else to jump in and fight for the seat and to ensure that we retain a Native voice in the seat in the House, and we need to fight to get other Native mm-hmm. voices, both men and women, in these positions of leadership in our state.
I thought last night was really important how Susan Allen mentioned the fact that it's very important to have an Indigenous person in the House and also running, especially for 62B.
Absolutely. I mean, when you think of our state and having 11, you know, federally recognized tribes, but the largest tribally diverse urban Indian population in the country, like, it is so important that we have more representation in these positions of power, in these leadership roles at, you know, all levels of government. And right now, from what I know and I'm aware of, we only have four Native voices in the legislature, in the mm-hmm. House, and they're all women. Mm-hmm. And with Susan stepping down, you know, that's one less voice. And with Peggy Flanagan doing amazing things and, you know, moving up and prospering, that's another voice that, or, you know, an open seat that we have in the legislature that is not a Native voice. And so I really think we need to get more of our community members connected and aware and educated around the process, you know, even for me, like even being an educated young woman, like it's a very insider process. It's mm-hmm. hard to navigate. Mm-hmm. It's taken a lot to really even get comfortable, and not even to say I'm fully comfortable in this space, but, mm-hmm. you know, navigating it. And I think we need to get more of our young folks involved and engaged, and our other community members to know that they deserve to be in these positions and their voices should be heard at the legislature.
Well, I know your story a little bit. I've heard it a couple times, and I heard it last night. And what was very important for me to hear is that you didn't have it easy. Mickey Mantle was a great hitter, but he couldn't teach people how to hit because it came so natural. And I think that people that go through strife in their life, strife in your life, that you can help people because you have that extra empathy and experience. So I'm really excited. You can fill in a little bit about your background too, because that really touched my heart last night. And I know you said it during our show too about your parents.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I was, I was very honored to have so many people. I think, you know, throughout that couple hour slot, there was probably upwards of 70 people that came in to support. And, you know, it takes a lot to be very vulnerable and, running for an elected or for public office, you really have to be willing or encouraged to be willing to share your story. And so, it's taken me a while to get here, but I understand the impact and the importance of speaking our truth. And I think that's one of the most powerful mm-hmm. things we can do is kind of speak truth to power. Mm-hmm. And so sharing my story and my experiences growing up in the cities with, both my parents, both of them struggling with addiction and incarceration. Both of them have been incarcerated in federal prisons and in our state prisons here in Minnesota. Both of them dropped out of high school, and my dad got his GED while he was in prison, and my mom is 54, really struggling and still trying to get that education for herself, but finding it, it's harder as you age and trying to retain information. And all the other, things they face with housing instability, homelessness, and my mom being a Native woman and every relationship she's been in being abusive and violent. And, having her there last night, standing strong, she found out she had cancer last year, and she's just been through so much, and she's a fighter, and she is so similar to so many of our other relatives in our community here and across the country, all across Turtle Island. And I think that's what's beautiful is the resilience that's there and kind of that fight to keep pushing. And it's, those experiences obviously impacted me growing up, and I struggled and I made poor decisions and mistakes along the way. But I kept fighting and kept pushing along, and I had good people behind me, encouraging me to get an education, encouraging me to keep going. And with my work with youth and youth work, I know that we have to do the same and, keep pushing our youth along to get them into these spaces and living good lives and staying connected to community and culture. And so that's a quick overview of kind of my story. Yeah. And I know anyone that I've talked to over the last 6 weeks since I announced my campaign has really appreciated mm-hmm. just that honest truth of where I've been, where I come from, and that those lived experiences I can bring when we're making decisions around policy that impacts, every Minnesotan in our state.
Do you have time for another segment with us?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, cool. Because I'd like to talk about just about a little bit of what you've learned in these past few weeks and get ready to talk about a little bit of that. All right. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We'll be right back after this short break. Message.
While I'm pregnant, I can keep our baby safe by not drinking, smoking, or using drugs. But how are we going to keep her safe after she's born?
When I grow up, I look forward to dancing in powwows, going to college, and being successful. But I don't want to be one out of three American Indian women to be raped or sexually assaulted in her lifetime.
As relatives and friends of Native women, it is our responsibility to stand up and speak out for every woman's right to be safe in her home and the community.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin. Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
It's the Erie, it's the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today we'll see highs near 39. Tonight, a 20% chance of snow with lows around 27. Sunday, a 20% chance of snow with highs near 36. And tonight, getting down to around 28. Monday has a high of 30 and a low of 14. AM 950 is brought to you by Origins Eye Clinic. Origins Eye Clinic is a welcoming clinic that is locally owned and independent. Treating everything from routine care to emergency eye care, doctors will spend plenty of time explaining and answering any of your questions. Located off 66th and Lindale, check out OriginsEyeClinic.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Neighborhood Cafe. Good food, good friends.
Hey, we're back with Leech Lake band member Karina Berry, who has recently announced that she will be seeking District 62B seat in the Minnesota House of Representatives. Welcome back, Karina.
Hi, Buju.
Hey, cool. So, hey, now, how long has it been since you announced your campaign?
You know, just a little over 6 weeks, I believe. Now, I announced on December 8th, so it's been kind of a whirlwind since.
And I think we had you on is like right away. It's been six weeks since we had you on. Wow. Well, we'll have you on 6 weeks from now then. That's so. Hey. Fill everybody in what it's like to, first of all, what is it like now these last 6 weeks? What has changed in your life besides everything?
I was just going to say, everything has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, you know, I have never run for office. I've never run a campaign. And so for me, it's been all about learning and just absorbing like a sponge, you know, everything that I can. And so, you know, my weeks, each week I have a coffee meeting with someone first thing, you know, 7 a.m. Then I go to work and then I have another coffee meeting with another person. And then I'm on the phones probably at least 2 hours, you know, reaching out to my neighbors, folks who have been delegates in the past and just every interaction I'm having with people who are delegates mm-hmm. in the neighborhood, or you know, current elected officials or other community members and leaders, and just kind of really picking their brains around, you know, what's important to them, any advice or insights they have for me as I'm learning and navigating. And mm-hmm. it's been, you know, so much information, so much to learn, and it's been really good. And I've been participating in trainings. You know, I went to a DFL House Caucus training, candidate training a couple weeks ago, where I was there with candidates from all around Minnesota, some of them who are running in red districts and facing, you know, different situations than I am, you know, running in South Minneapolis. And so even that was such a good learning experience, and I'm just taking as much as I can in. But, you know, I definitely, you know, sacrificing a lot of time, and but also enjoying being able to connect every day with a new person and having just real honest conversations about what's important to each person I talk to, and kind of, you know, what do they want to see in a leader in their district, and being able to share more about myself and my story and my experience and why I believe I'm the best person, you know, to get the seat in our district.
So it sounds like sounds like you have like three jobs going on, because you're still working at your job at the U, right?
Correct. Yeah. Wow. Still working full time.
Wow. I'm tired just thinking about that. Well, I'm a high school teacher, and I know education is very important to you. What are some of the things that you will really be pushing? I know we want funding. We want funding for all districts, including districts that aren't the rich districts of the suburbs.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, talking with, being a product of Minneapolis Public Schools, and then connecting with teachers and other folks who are, you know, parents, folks impacted and that interact with our schools, there's so much work to do, right? And a lot of it all comes back to funding and state mm-hmm. mandates. And we need to fully fund our schools and our districts, but we really need to know what that means. And we need to invest in a cost analysis to really see what it costs to educate each of our students and to give them a quality education. And we definitely need to balance that out and make sure that, you know, all of our districts have, you know, equitable funding that meets the needs of the students they're serving, as well as other opportunities, right? I think there's so much that plays into that. That's not just education. Many of these issues intersect in making sure our families' basic needs are met so that students can be successful.
Well, my story is they cannot. I work in a St. Paul public school, and they cannot compare our grades or our scores with suburban schools, but they always want to. And, you know, one of the issues that we have is, like, for instance, said person doesn't know where they're going to be sleeping that night. They have more issues to worry about than maybe the suburban kids or the outlying state kids.
Yeah. Yeah, you talk to teachers, you know, support staff in schools, and they're essentially, you know, spending less time being able to focus on teaching in their mm-hmm. classrooms because they're practicing a social work, you know, mm-hmm. essentially trying to help families and these students access housing and get food in mm-hmm. their fridges and clothes and all these different needs that, you know, we should be taking care of outside of school so that students can just go to school and have a safe place to learn and that teachers can focus on teaching. And so there's definitely much more work we have to do on, you know, the front lines on the ground level and making sure everyone has equitable access to these resources so we see better outcomes in our schools.
The red people sometimes, and I don't like to talk in this way, but sometimes want to put the blame and on the educators and the teachers and the counselors, and that's not always the case now. So I shouldn't get on my soapbox there. But what else have you learned on your door knocking?
Yeah, you know, I went door knocking for the first time this week. And was able to, you know, between meetings and events. And, you know, it's really great. You know, I hear a lot in our district, a lot of, you know, our neighbors are really passionate about some of the same things. And some of that is, you know, quality education and access, you know, from early childhood to college. And we also have community members that are really passionate about criminal justice reform, you know, reforming sentencing laws and the relationships between law enforcement and community. We have community members that are really passionate about ensuring we have safe and affordable housing for everyone. And, you know, again, just kind of making sure that every family has their basic needs met and, you know, across all of these systems. And so that's been really great for me, you know, coming from where I come from and what's important to me and seeing that, you know, our values really align in my community.
So what excites you? What gets you up in the morning? I know I asked you this 6 weeks ago. I want to see if it's changed.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it's still the same. You know, my family, my supporters, and encouraging me. But I really do. There's a special kind of energy. Even, you know, when all of this is it's overwhelming. It can be exhausting. It's long days. But I'm such a relationship person that I enjoy those one-on-one connections. You know, when I get to have coffee face to face with a new person, when I actually get someone on the phone when I'm calling for hours, and we get to have a good, just open conversation about, like, who are we, where'd we come from, what do we want to see for every Minnesotan, and how do we get there? And that really, you know, fills me up, in that we have so many people who are passionate and you know, engaged and want to see change and want to be a part of that change.
Well, you know, I know it's exciting that Miss Allen got a hold of you and said you need to run, and Peggy Flanagan was kind of part of that decision to get you going, or she knew about you. I kind of heard that story last night, and that excites me that you know, Indigenous people and Native people especially can support other Native people. That is very important to us.
Absolutely. Yeah, we got to lift each other up. You know, we got to be there to support one another.
You know, I read something where you know, you can keep your tax breaks, because I want to fund schools, I want to fund childcare, I want to fund these things that make this a great state, and I don't need a tax break. I need these things funded, and I'm sure I can't speak for you, but I'm sure that we need to push that.
Absolutely. Yeah, we got to find balance and we have to find equity, right? Like, and people have to understand what that means when we talk about equity, when we're talking about wealth and income, when we're talking about assets, and then when we're just talking about basic needs and, you know, your everyday, where are you sleeping? Do you have transportation? Do you have employment? You know, do you have access to education? And looking at all those things and making sure that we find a way to find that balance, so that, you know, that everybody has those equal opportunities.
Well, what I like about your story is that you, because I'm a high school teacher, I can see people that maybe have gone through the same thing that you have at a young person, and that somebody reached out to you. And, you know, I always tell new teachers, you're going to change somebody's life. You just don't, you may never know who it is, but you definitely are, because we spend, at one time, I spent more time in school than I did with my family. And they were my family. And I think that story really hit me yesterday when you talked about your counselors and how they changed your life and the direction your life went. And I think you being a role model, you're going to change a lot of people's lives too.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I only hope to, you know, like, as you said, my own story, like, I really needed those key people. And there was different moments where I just needed that one person. And that's so true for so many of our children and our youth who, you know, are trying to find safe spaces and people who are willing to listen to them and encourage them. And you know, we all need to step up into those roles and be those people.
Well, I'm so excited that you were able to spend time with us, because I know personally that all of us here, Uncle Curtis, Wendy, Crystal and her two daughters were there last night. We support the heck out of you and whatever we can do to help you on your journey to greater things and helping your people and our people and your people in the district. We're here to help you in any way we can.
Yeah, Miigwech. I'm so thankful for the support, you know, from everybody, folks who aren't even in our state and who are cheering on and supporting from afar.
Right. Well, I gave you, no, that's okay. I gave you a check last night. That's dark money because I'm from St. Paul. So, you know, you got to be careful about that. But, you know, again, you know, gratitude's attitude, you know, the journey's the reward. And I think you're learning so much more about yourself, about your district and about who you are and what you can and can't do. I know your significant other is, he's really proud of you. We had a chance to talk a little bit last night, and that's all you need. You know, the journey's the reward, and the people, and you find out who's in your corner. And it looked like last night a lot of people were in your corner.
Yeah, absolutely. And I look forward to, you know, connecting with more folks and getting more support. I really need, you know, folks to get involved and help me fundraise, as well as volunteer and help me get on those doors and on the phones. And so I appreciate any and all support I can get, and folks can get involved and by, you know, following me on Facebook.
Yeah.
Karina Berry for House Representative for 62B, as well as KarinaBerry.com. All the upcoming events and ways to contribute are on the website as well.
Right, and we'll put a link up on Native Roots Radio Facebook for you too. So yeah, it's not cheap, and you got to pay people a living wage to support you and work on your campaign, and it's a hard deal when you're going against that other money, but you know, we're here to support you in any way we can.
All right, Meek Witch, thank you all.
Okay, have a great day. You've been listening. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We'll be right back after the short break with What Does My Elder Think?
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States. And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Genocide, lost language, rape, isolation, forced assimilation, colonization, assault, disease and torture, school, lost sexual family, abuse, relocation, lost customs, allotments, hate, reservation. Fear.
History has taken its toll on our families. Our fathers and grandfathers, our mothers, our grandmothers, they didn't deserve to be raped and abused. I don't deserve to be raped and abused. Today I walk with pride. I'm reclaiming my body, my heritage, and traditional customs that value all living things. I'm learning healthy boundaries, and I stand with Minnesota Indian women to end sexual violence. Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exciting.
exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin. Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ho-Chunk Nation, the people of the sacred voice.
You know, I just want to say how important my Choka is here, and I'm so glad that he's here with us. As always, every week, he's not missed a show. And I'm the only other one that hasn't missed a show.
Okay.
And
I had good reason to miss a show.
Right. Well, you didn't really miss it. You called in.
That's right.
Each time.
But
so.
I was, yeah.
Physically here. And this is What Does Our Elder Think? And he's given us some information on events and passings and birthdays. And it's a very important part of the show for us. And welcome, Choka.
My name is Moshke Hanajinga. I walk on the white clouds. My colonized name is Curtis West. I want to say hi, baby girl. And ha-ho to all my family and relatives and friends in Four Direction. I pray all is well. And like my Chuske said here, we give them some shout-outs today and some sympathy condolences out. So our shout-outs, we're going to start out with some birthdays. We have a lot of Winnebago relatives from Nebraska, and they asked for a shout-out to young Ho-Chunk down there. Her name is Lavinia Snowball, so happy birthday. Another one I'm going to shout out to is a Chujunk of mine, too, is Kim Henderson and Rowley. And, so it's her birthday. And another one that we wanted to give a shout out to is a good friend of ours, Art Owens from Prairie Island. His granddaughter turned 22 years old. I hope I'm not spoiling this. I reckon his name is Raja Lynch, 22 years old, and Jessica Owens is her mother, you know, so it's a good one, too.
And Art was important in your life
Very important. And I always give a shout-out to the Ho-Chunk elders. So one big one we're going to go to, a good buddy of ours, is Mike Gozy.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't tell me how old he was, but I'm not going to ask him either. But happy birthday, Mike. And then the other one is my little nanny from Black River Falls. Her name is Sarah. Little Nani Abbott. I'm going to say happy birthday, Nani, that way to her. And then another one is Barb Pierce over there. And special shout out to the Winnebago boys basketball team. 13-1 right now, working their way to go to state.
Uh-huh.
And the things we wanted to pass on too is there's a shout out that from the staff here at Native Roots Radio. We'd like to give pass our condolences on to the Dan Jones family. He was an Ojibwe language teacher. He walked on, so we're passing on condolences that way. And so we're going to do it like that. And the one we want to do, too, is I'm just going to say her first name, but our thoughts and prayers here from AM 950 is rest in heaven, Monica.
Mm-hmm.
Too young, you know. And
and they're putting her in the ground right as we speak.
Yeah, and another one we want to pass on is to Virgil. And his family, thoughts and prayers from Native Roots Radio also on that one. So, and I guess the events we got going on right now is that Tuesday, January 23rd, is language class again. It's, the beginners are at 4:30, and the advanced are at 5:30. It's at the St. Paul branch office, and we have the number on our website here. The other one that we I got brought up to my attention today, on February 14th, it's the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's March.
Second annual, did you say?
Last year they said they had 600 marchers, and we'll have more info next week on our show. But that's February 14th, and on February 1st, that's Thursday, from 7 to 8 over at the Ho-Chunk branch office, they're going to have the drum and dance night. With Jake Littlejohn. They said they will have some regalia and shawls on hand for the young ones to practice all their good moves, they said. So, and then dinner will be provided.
Oh,
and
I'll be there then.
Anywhere there's food.
And then tomorrow, I hope I got this right, but it came up on their site, is Sunday, January 21st, is the Women's March of Minnesota. starts at 3:30 to 7 o'clock, and that's at the Union Depot at 214 4th Street East in St. Paul. Mm-hmm. That's a one-year anniversary of that Women's March movement.
And I know a lot of them are marching today, and this is going to be rebroadcast, so this will be Monday or Sunday, the 21st?
21st.
Yeah, so don't go there next Sunday.
No, the 21st is tomorrow.
Yeah. Or the day after, depending on where you're listening to this.
Yeah, and that's about it on my events for this week.
So, Dega, do you have any Gaga wisdom this week?
I sure do, and you all know, not Ho-Chunk or anything, Gaga is kind of slang for a grandmother. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Kunika if you're an adult, but I'm a Gaga. I'm a Gaga sayer, anyhow. But Gaga told me one time, she says, never take anything for granted. Life is short. Always give thanks and praise for all our blessings.
It's always a good, you always have the good Gaga, native wisdom, elder sayings. They're all important.
Very much so. So you called Wendy your...
My Chujunk.
And what does that mean in Ho-Chunk?
That would be my niece.
Oh.
And I call Curtis my Tega, which means uncle.
I hope.
And I call him Choka, which is grandfather, but Curtis and my family, and Curtis is my uncle, my Tega, but he's the oldest and the most respected in the family, so we call him grandfather.
I'm the Choka of them all, I guess.
Exactly. So we throw around a lot of words, and I think it's kind of fun to let people know.
You know, I'm still learning, too.
The Pinagigi is...
Thank you, of course, you know, thank you.
What did
and Karina was saying... Bonjour.
I'd say hello.
That's hello.
Hello.
But I don't know what language that is.
It's Ojibwe.
Ojibwe.
And then the one thing I was going to ask my daughter, but for the Vikings game tomorrow, I was going to ask her, I said, your Jaji's really craving some Weisskop Dachere. And she goes, what? Oh, I got company coming over, so I guess I'm going to be short of the fry breads tomorrow.
And Jaji?
That's father, of course. That's father. Nani is
Robert's daughters call Robert Jaji.
Jaji, that's
or Jaj. Jaj is short.
Yeah. What there's a term that we like to use around what is a term for we're natives?
Natives. Oh yeah, we're Wangsheeks. Wangsheeks is that mean you're any native in whatever nation, whatever tribe. We're Wangsheeks.
And we outnumber everyone here in the studio. There's five of us and two Europeans.
Oh,
that would be me.
We have a studio audience out there. We should give a shout out.
Yeah, we got to give a shout out to them young ladies that come out and checked out the show. They were a little nervous to come on inside. We want them to sit with us around the microphones.
Right, in the circle.
In the circle, the square circle.
April and Tegan.
Tane. April and Tane. Sorry, I messed up that name. But hello. Yeah. Who's you?
It wasn't written here in the paper, so I panicked.
Say hi to Eric, too. He's our engineer Eric. Out there behind the glass.
Yes,
makes the magic happen.
And before we hang up on this, I want to say hi to Parker West. He's going to score a couple goals tomorrow. Big game tomorrow.
Awesome.
Parker. I would like to end with these thoughts. The ground on which we stand is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I've been your host, Robert Pilot. I am awake. The revolution is kicking into high gear. I would like to thank everybody, and I'd especially like to thank Karina Berry. We are the seventh generation.
We are awake.